Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hood Talk Radio with Cleveland's own Emax the Image, where we unravel the facts and bring the truth out of the lies. Wake up, everybody. It's Hood Talk Radio. You talk about it, we talk about it, they talking about it, Hood Talk Radio. You talking about it, we talk about it, they talking about it, Hood Talk Radio. We talking about it, they talking about it, we talking about it, Hood Talk Radio. We talking about it, they talking about it, we talking about it, Hood Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, and good evening to you. This is your boy, Emax the Image, and I want to say, hey, 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 hey. You have tuned in to Hood Talk Radio, 646-478-0944. That's the number to call in. Press the one key if you want to talk. Do nothing if you just listening. We here for a revisit to some of the past shows. Some of the information we shared with you guys was important. And I thought that it would be a good thing just to reiterate some of the necessary information for your safety in the community and the fact that it just might save you a few hours, okay? The topic will night one is the red light camera situation. Now, a few months ago, I don't know if you remember, we spoke on the new locations of, you know, the planned red light camera installation. Well, they are not only red light cameras, they are speed cameras, and they are identification cameras. They have zoom features so that they can zoom in not only to catch the license plate of the vehicle, but also the driver. So if you're drinking a beer, if you're smoking a motherfucking blunt, or if you're doing anything in your vehicle that's illegal, whatever you're doing in the vehicle while you're running the red light, speeding, shit, they got you. They know what you look like, they got your face, and you are now associated with the vehicle. So your license plate number, which is your vehicle registration number, and all of that shit has been attached to your physical. Okay, so y'all understand, and this is your boy Max. I'm going to play this song, and we'll be right.
From a play, like the long-awaited detox from Dre.
I hear you.
Chapter 1, verse 1 of the story I tell.
Yes.
It's called Hellbound, the driver from hell.
From hell.
In this case, Satan the devil used his ride to use his bait and trap three angels inside.
And ain't the house
in 02, we'll start with the name of Michelle Knight.
You ain't going nowhere.
Disappeared after accepting a ride. Amanda Berry got a lift after work, after work. 2003 is when we began our search. Remember Carrie, the film? Yeah, that was scary. Well, this is gruesome, cause it's reality. Demonic driver, who was in human form. Casper wasn't done, he had to grab one more. Offered Gina DeJesus
a lift
to see his daughter, who was her best friend. That had to happen in 2004. She vanished in the thin air, and she was gone. Castro, monster, evil, sadist, brutalizer, pervert, bully, rapist. Imagine being locked down in a basement, repeatedly molested and raped. Young girls chained, physical and mental prison. This ain't the worst of this.
This world is born for everybody, baby.
each time the girls went to run away. They took a beating like runaway slaves. When Michelle Knight became expected, she was beat down till she lost a fetus. Castro's the worst monster I ever saw. Worser than Jigsaw from the movie Saw. Act 1, Scene 1. Cut the curtain closed. Done with the story of hell. Time to go. From hell, delivered to heaven. From hell, delivered to heaven.
Let's go.
From hell, delivered to heaven. From hell, delivered to heaven.
It's mounting on my soul, Lord. Where can I go? I can't talk to the women, was locked up a long time ago. 10 years I've been a maker, but you ain't going nowhere. I use your body as personal me, cause I don't care. Do you feel me stressed? But I'm blinded. Lord, can you help the signs? The kids don't see the signs. Every time I turn around, they say, I'll be coming. But I'm talking about the women, cause they feeling nothing. But now they free now, and we can all see now. The whole world know about what happened about the meat now. Castro, our part is here, watch your soul. As you rot in hell, a far place to go. I got that natural flow, and they can't stop my. But it ain't about me, Lord, why they wanna stop me? You see, I just wanna help everybody get it. But I can't help myself, but I'ma still deliver.
All of you.
Sorry about that, you guys. That was called The Cleveland Story. Al Porter Jr., the Black House Sounds, of course. And you know how that goes. We out here in Cleveland, Ohio, doing what we do on a Wednesday evening. Just wanted to give y'all a little update on the show. Was wonderful. Out there in Willowick, Ohio, it was a nice little show. Of course, we was, you know, in what was described to me as a redneck bar, but hey, when you're a performer, you know what I'm saying, you're up to any challenge. And as far as the, you know, the feedback that I got, I did what I had to do. Just like always. All right? And it's your boy, Imagine the Image. You know what I'm saying? The coolest host in the world. I just want to tell you how you know we here Mondays with Al Porter Jr.'s Man in the Streets. Of course, Wednesday night, Hood Talk Radio. And then on Friday and Saturday, Hood Tunes Radio, and we showcase local artists' music, regional artists, and national artists also, a little bit of workshop forum slash, you know, self-help program on the weekends where we give you a little bit of, you know, insight into how to, you know, bring yourself up to par in this industry that we call music. All right, representing Varsity Music and Media is a small upstart company that, you know what I'm saying, right now I'm the owner-operator of, and we're doing various things in the music. I'm a singer, I'm a songwriter. I do a lot of remastering and things of that nature, you know what I'm saying? I feature a lot of artists on my tracks and vice versa. And we do pretty much all that we can to shine some light on the community as we move into this new year coming in 2014. The station will be revamped. We have some new ideas that we're going to implement. Hope that is conducive to what you tune into the show for. So I thank you all, first of all of my listeners, all of my callers, everybody that downloads the show, you know, every show that we got on this network. We thank you all. All right, that's first and foremost for your support. So right now we're going to go to the phone lines and see what's going on. All right, 216-325 with E-Max Radio. What's this? All right. Family, she's just listening this evening. That's cool. All right. Thank you very much, my dear. We appreciate that. To get into the topic of what tonight's show is the red light camera locations. All right. We want y'all to remember that they have, without us knowing it, decided to install 27 more red light traffic cameras in the black communities all on the east side. There's a couple of them on, you know, in the poor Latino community over off of West 25th. And they have started putting mobile units in the designated locations, all right? Do not be dismayed about all of these new poles and street corners and sidewalks. They're merely installing sensors into the ground at certain points where, you know, these cameras will be installed. So, you know, I guarantee you, though, that while they got the street corners looking all nice in these blighted areas, okay, that there is some type of apparatus that will be used to more or less like see just how far they can, you know, how much money they'll make in a certain, you know, intersection. And they all in the black communities, you know what I'm saying? It's because, one, our council people are not fighting for the protection of, you know, the black communities or even so-called poor communities. All right, they ain't doing nothing. And yet on November the 5th, they want you to vote for them. And that's going to be a hard thing to do for a lot of people, especially when more people are beginning to notice that the people have less of a voice and are beginning to be more responsible for the goings-on in our communities. Okay, so some of the cameras, right now on Lee and Miles, they have a mobile unit. They move it back and forth between Lee Road, Miles, and what is that, where Carew's Park is. Okay, so now they're getting ready to actually put one under the bridge by 480. Because a lot of people run that light to either go straight through the Mabel Heights or to get on the highway. They already have one on Chester. They're getting ready to put two more on Chester. And, oh, by the way, if you don't know this, that between the sign where it says target enforcement area and the actual unit, there's supposed to be at least a 200-foot warning span, which means that sign is supposed to be at least 200 feet before the camera. And I guarantee you some of them are car length, some of them maybe 75 feet. But it's very rare you're going to find in the black community a red light camera that's 200 feet away from the sign, which will give you enough time to slow down or stop for the red light, okay? Start being more vigilant and notice where these cameras are. Of course, they're going to have one on 93rd and Kinsman, 116th and Buckeye. Believe it or not, they already changed the light pattern. And if you happen to be driving across Terrace Road, they got some brand-new lights over there on Terrace, and they're 10-second lights. Okay? I've been driving down Terrace Road now for a little bit more than 7 years every day, and not once have I had to sit at a red light with more than one or two cars in front of me. Now you have 10 to 15 cars in each direction going up the hill, down the hill at Terrace and Taylor. That's a 10-second light. Okay, now they have this guy in the trees going across Terrace between Shaw and the Heritage School, a couple of mobile red light cameras, and they flip them upside down and make them look like garbage cans. So you won't know it's a camera until they flash on you, okay? They made the school zones from 7 o'clock in the morning to 3:30 in the afternoon. So just because that light is not flashing out there, y'all, and y'all go through a school zone and the police pull you over, you're going to get a ticket for doing more than 20 miles an hour in that school zone. So just be a little bit more careful, be a little bit more vigilant, because it's all just a ploy to take more money out of the black community. They ain't even got none. You know what I'm saying? Think about this. You're a business owner. The city is throwing up red light cameras all over the place. And now not only your employees, okay, that may work your factory, your company, or whatever your organization may be on the east side, in one of these poor or blighted neighborhoods. And now your employees, as well as your customers, are subjected to the violations imposed by these traffic cameras. So two things are going to happen here. Okay, either the company is going to have to start coming up with some type of a surplus to pay these tickets for their employees and or customers, or people are going to start going other places. So you lose money in the black community one way or another just by imposing this infrastructure. That's what they're going to call it, in the poor communities, okay? It's something else, man. It is something else we need to pay a little bit more attention to, the issues that our elected officials support before we vote them in the office. You know, don't be dismayed because most of them act like they're your friends during the election process, but I say don't worry about that shit because there's more people that get duped into believing the lie, and it's all because people are ready for shit to change. You know what I'm saying? So it's up to us, but it's more of us that's ready for the change than it is that's actually willing to do something about it. It's a lot of people comfortable, and they want to stay comfortable. And so they shut up. They don't say shit. Okay? That pretty much is going to give me what I need to tell you about the red light cameras. Unfortunately, I can't find my detail notes to give you the exact locations, but the ones that I did quote to you, they are already in operation. They're just mobile units right now. Excuse me. Of course, you know, on Euclid Avenue, you have 40. That's right. You can count them. 40 fucking red light traffic cameras. 40. All right? They have the lights programmed so that if you make one light, you'll probably run the next one. And also another thing is that you have to figure out where you're going to stop. You can't stop at the white line before the crosswalk because that'll trigger the camera. Because it's like you're finna turn right on red without stopping or just run through the light. You don't actually have to be, you know what I'm saying, outside or inside of the trigger zone. You could just be, and I've seen this with my own eyes, you could just be pulling up to the red light to stop. And you didn't stop in enough distance in front of that camera. And you'll get a ticket. It'll flash on you, slowing down and coming to a stop at a red light. So be careful. Be careful. That's one of the reasons why East Cleveland's Euclid Avenue stretch is so poor. It's because people don't drive up Euclid no more. A lot of people don't drive up Euclid. Some people don't have a choice. But those that do know, watch out for those red light cameras. And it's not just on Euclid. They done put them all in the back toward Hayden and Coit and around the 130 Arlington, 123rd area. They're all over the place, all back in the neighborhood, just like the Ohio State Troopers. So we got so much stacked against us right now that, you know, and those cameras, and this is the truth about those cameras, the city doesn't, well, they say they don't get no money from them. They say they don't get no money from them. It's just some white man out there that had a whole lot of money and decided, you know what, I'm tired of these people running these red lights. Let me make some money off the city by telling them my safety measure is going to, you know, slow people down or change traffic patterns and keep people driving like they got sense. Truth of the matter is, it doesn't. Because if it did, they wouldn't have need to put up more of those cameras, okay? And it shocks me that a lot of our community leaders, like council people, who actually has more weight in what happens in our communities than you would believe, all right? They, most of them, like Ken Johnson, he voted for him. Doesn't live in our ward, but in most of the places where the cameras are. He doesn't live there. But the city council voted unanimously. You know, and those that spoke out against the red light cameras, more red light cameras, because we already had like 26. So they decided, you know, add another 27, 20, which brings our total up to like 54, maybe even 56 cameras in our city, all on the east side. Okay, they got one on 71st and Woodland, right there between 70 and 71st. How about they getting ready to put one right there on 30th? They're going to put one on 40th. They're getting ready to put one on 55th, right before you get on the highway. Okay, when you turn and left at that light on 55th in Kinsland or Woodland, or you going across 55th coming from St. Clair, Superior area somewhere, there's going to be four, maybe even five, because it's like five streets there, and traffic goes in two directions, so it'll be a camera on each corner. So you can expect at that corner it's going to be at least six cameras, if not more, okay? And another fact, that trucks, of course the police, ambulances, fire trucks, but delivery trucks, all right, construction trucks, certain size tow trucks, any vehicle that's above a certain weight, of course, is exempt. All right, so what does that tell you? That it's targeted. Because usually when people driving those type of trucks, they work for organization and they at work. They have to be out there. So, of course, they're exempt. Just like a delivery truck is exempt for a parking ticket downtown. Especially if you double park, because they're what? Conducting business. You don't know what people are doing in their vehicles during the day. But you decide with your Hitler state of mind that this is the best thing for the people, and we're going to give it to them, and they're going to pay. Oh, no, we ain't making no money out of this. We ain't making no money out of this. It's just a measure to keep the city straight. We're looking to enhance our safety in the community. And yet we got all these people dying everywhere. So where's the safety? What good is the cameras? All right, what good is the cameras if, you know, you're not doing what you're supposed to do inside the community? All right, well, you know what it is, man. It's your boy, you next to me. This is Hood Talk Radio, 646-478-0944. I'm going to play this song for you, and we will be back. And I'm
around, 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 but this time it went way overboard. We just don't agree, so I'm giving up on never loving you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That was a track called Games. It was written and produced by an artist from the city of Cleveland by the name of Emax the Image. 646-478-0944. It's the number to call in. Press the 1 key if you want to talk. And just, you know, chill if you are listening. I just wanted to say that coming real soon in the year 2014, we have decided to open a oratorium so that, you know, people from the community will have a place to come and express themselves to the communities and not necessarily have to weather the weather. You know what I mean? It's all in the plan. We want to thank everybody that has a voice out in our community and they use it. So we thank you all for what you do. And right now we're going to go to 216-394. You're on the Hilltop Radio. Hello.
I'm on.
You on the line, brother, man. What's going on?
This Al Porter?
No, this is Emax.
Oh, Emax. Yeah, you got Johnny G on the line. If I'm on, if I'm on and live, I'm broadcasting live from 2100 Lakeside Avenue in downtown Cleveland. There's a bunch of us folks here tonight looking at the Cavs game, but I still got issues with the NAACP, the Urban League, the FCLC, Al Sharpton's folks, and the Concerned Ministers Association, where they are not showing up at these rallies that we're having. And I just want to know, Emax, what do you think is the issue and why they're not showing up?
Well, number one, it doesn't affect them personally. Okay? Number two, it doesn't hurt them politically. Right? It's not a lot of important things. That's what they're here for. You know what I'm saying? It's an absolute need. I do the service for you. So actually, just the job is just a need. So it won't help us. It won't help us. It won't help us. So
here's the other question that... Here's the other question then. What do we as activists... And the black-on-black crime activists, what do we do to get these folks to be at these rallies? I mean, how do we call them out of their hiding places and have them be a part of what they should automatically be a part of?
Well, you know, it's like you said a few weeks ago, you know what I mean? You got to be a visual thing. You got to be visual. Just showing up and, you know, the people do their part. But the people that we don't do that because, like I always say, nobody holds them accountable. The people make noise. The people do what we supposed to do.
So we need to actually start putting faces on billboards and things of that nature.
Oh, yeah. And that's exactly what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to turn over a rock to find the salamander or the gardener snake. You know what I'm saying? So turn over some rocks.
That's exactly what we need to do. And especially this Regional Transit Authority. I mean, I'm appalled that we allowed an individual that comes from a little station city to come to our metropolitan city and then take over. He's a dictator. I mean, he's the CEO, general manager, secretary, and treasurer of our public transportation system. And how did the mayor, how did the board people allow that ignorant thing to happen? How?
Well, it was basically a special interest group that persuaded them. One thing is that I learned about lobbying is that from the corporations they work for, they get an undertow about going around and so the people that can, you know, make those necessary changes.
Then what do you think about the double dipping? What do you think about the double dipping that's going on in the Cleveland meritorial office down there, where you got folks that retire and come back at a bigger salary than they were making when they left there? Meaning that if one left at $80,000 and come back at $100,000, he's making $180,000 a year, and they're wondering where the money at in the city.
That's right. That's right. And another thing, and I just brought this up too tonight, we were talking about this, that it's about knowing the issues and what that person that we elected to be in the position is. Okay, well, we saw for somebody that got a good speech, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
People always fall for a person that's charismatic. When you damn near be Michael Jackson, they're dancing and kicking their leg and spinning around, shouting, and the whole crowd say, yeah, or vote for her.
I heard that. I want to say this, and then I'm going to let you go back to the program. I need folks on that Aiken Reed YouTube, that AikenReid YouTube. It doesn't seem like the folks understand the validity of what is needed with that Aiken Reed YouTube. There's folks that are being lied to in reference to a company that's telling them that he's saving them money when he's actually robbing them at the cash register. So don't the community, the senior citizen, low-income, and black folks in New Wellington, South Carolina understand that they are being robbed, literally robbed at the registers. And I've been saying to these ignorant, backward folks in South Carolina that they should not just simply take my word for it, just do a little simple price comparison, and they'll see for themselves. And I'm going to leave you with this note. That it's sad that we don't have enough people backing this situation. And how ignorant can you be? How ignorant can an individual be knowing that they're being robbed at the registers? I'm Johnny G, and I'm live from 2100 Lakeside in downtown Cleveland. And if you want to get in touch with me, 216-394-1845. That's 394-1845, 216. Back to EMAX and the Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Brother Johnny G, out there, man, doing what he's doing. He's on the scene, you know what I'm saying? And that number again is 216-394-1845. You are listening to Hood Talk Radio with your boy EMAX. That was just a mental note and also an encouraging message from your brother, Johnny G. Okay, we know for a fact that in the city that we're in right now, that people are just as ignorant as they are everywhere. I don't understand why you have a shutdown of communitarianism in a different light, because politically, communitarianism is the control of the people in the community and the requirement that they all work together to enhance the government, all right, and not necessarily our neighbors in our community. Because remember, they all got us now as individuals. And so when you decide to become a community, you know what I'm saying, especially at this day and age, some things are looked at upon as being a potential domestic terrorist, all right? What we need to do as a people, and I said this and I say this all the time, pay attention to the issues that the great politicians that we elect to be in these positions that are supposed to, you know what I'm saying, be for the people. Pay attention to the things they stand for. Okay, don't just let the fact that they come out there and they smile at you and they give you a little money and throw you money everywhere and feed you here and there and that and the other, you know, just make them, you know, the leaders, okay, the elected leaders. There was once a time when our elected leaders were actually doing something for our community. But if you notice, the ones that actually step up to the plate to do something, they shut down. Okay, look at the situation with Jesse Jackson and his son right now. You know what I mean? Every time somebody black gets ready to open their mouth and say something that will enhance or possibly improve the living conditions of not just the black people, but poor people. Poor people all over the place, man. You know what I'm saying? We are the targets of our government. The people that we elect to lead us right down the road where they want us to go. Here's one I want y'all to take in consideration. What do you do with the slaves you don't need no more? Huh? When you cut off jobs, when you got enough people that's making you enough profit right now, which probably would never be enough, when you got enough people that's making your wealth wealthier, okay, making your longevity longer, what do you need anybody and everybody else for? So instead of having everybody that's working taking care of the people that ain't, what do? You create a system to get rid of the people. You can't annihilate them, so you come up with some cockamamie ass shit, and they call it prison. All right? If you have disparities in income, okay, and with that old slave mentality that came about through the teachings of the Willie Lynch letters and the propaganda, okay, which is still effective today, all right? When you add all those things up and you start practicing again, all the things that people forgot that they practiced back when, the people suffer, but it's more people that ain't suffering right now than it is that are. But they want to blow it up and blow everything out of proportion like everything is okay. They create a dependency system, okay, which means that as long as there's something that we appear to give the people, then they're going to do what we want them to do. And that's exactly what's happening. You let a few of the poor, you let a few of the blacks into those positions where, you know, some of them or most of them want to be anyway. And then you lead them. You tell them, this is how you get ahead of the game. You want to be farther than a councilman? You want to be bigger than an alderman? Okay, you want to be bigger than a community speaker? You want to sit on a seat of city council? Then this, my friend, is what you have to do to the people in your community. That's the only way you're going to go up the ladder in the political chain. Learn how to be crooked. Learn how to be lying. You know, they all start out with that same old speech, oh, I grew up in a poor neighborhood and I worked hard and got myself out of it. Just to go into a position, okay, i.e., working for somebody else. Because whether you work for UPS, the Postal Service, the government, the mayor's office, the councilman's office, you are working for someone else, and you have to follow their rules or else you'll be out of a job. Okay? How many elected officials actually do the job that we expect them to do, actually do the job that we elect them to do, and actually do the job that they promised to do? What we as the voters don't realize is that no matter what, no matter what, this politician will not be able to do anything more than the last one. Okay, the differences in these politicians is who's got the best act. Some don't care. They don't even act like they give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like Jackson always said, hey, it is what it is. What do you expect me to do? You're the fucking mayor. You have the power to do something behind it. But he doesn't, because it does not go along with his personal interest. It does not go along with the interest of his office, nor does it go along with the interest of his administrators, meaning his bosses. Because in every city, just because the mayor is the mayor, that doesn't mean he's the top brass, because he got to listen to somebody too. All the way up. It's a pyramid thing, man. Y'all got to do a little bit more reading and studying and going online. Just like Johnny G always say, go on YouTube, check out the Aiken Reed thing. I've done it myself, and yes, it's a fucking travesty. You know what I'm saying? You may not think that being in another city, you can make noise or make a difference about it, but you can't. Excuse me. And the problem is you won't make noise in your own fucking city. You look at the news, you see the shit that's going on, and you sit there and you shake your head and you say, But have you noticed that until the shit affects somebody personally, meaning until it reaches their family, or some one of their friends, or something close to home, that is never really an issue. And that's because more people like to be comfortable in their own place and let the other motherfucker worry about his issues and his problems. That ain't my problem. I don't have to worry about it. Okay? We all are sympathetic, but how many of us exercise our right to be empathetic? And it is a difference. There is a difference. People need our help. You know what I'm saying? People need our help. And there's some of us that are strong. You know what I'm saying? Some of us that are strong need to help those that we recognize as being weak. That's why they were brought into our circle. Not so we can look down on them or walk over them or walk past them, but to help them. A lot of us don't realize that we've been put in a position to help people, and we don't do it. Now, I'm not talking about the type of help that if you're going to say, look, I'm going to help you get on your feet just so you can turn around and pay me back, or one day I can call in a favor because I helped you. That's not help. That's a loan. Or that's an agreement. Or that's a contract. You understand? Help means, damn, I see you fucked up. Here, maybe this is a help you get out of this predicament, at least temporarily, where you might be able to see a way to get to the next level, to get to the next phase in your life. Okay, if I got $1 million and it'll take $1,000 to get you out of that gutter, then I should be able to give you $1,000 and keep on going and not expect nothing back. You know, it's weird that as much information and as far back as I go in history and the things that I've learned and I've found out about our religious falsifications, the things that we have been led to believe, still in our Bible and in our Quran and other religious materials, you find that when the Creator is speaking, it can't be denied. There are no words that a man can use that can keep or mask the message that we get from the Creator. And it is true. He knows his own. He knows his own. But what we have to do is not be blinded by our human counterparts that more than likely have an ulterior motive in getting us to believe the things that are coming out of their mouths. Okay? So just like politicians, you know what I'm saying, our religious leaders need to be protected and they need to be padded and comforted and everything like that. So the message is scripted. The message is scripted. It may be clear to a lot of folks out there that fall into it, but it's very, very clear to those that step outside of the box and learn to understand the meaning of language. See, and I'm not just talking about like English or Spanish or French. I'm talking about what the actual, the origins of any word that we use, what did it mean then, and why doesn't it mean the same thing now? So we have to worry about things like that. All right? So before you get bent out of shape and trying to understand some things you don't understand, just take a little bit of time and dig a little deeper, and maybe, just maybe, a little light will come on and you'll see why we are in the situation we are in. Okay, the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no's be no. All right? And that is what I always say. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. See, when you got 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people under your control, meaning you can go and knock on anybody's door, especially when now we have laws against solicitation, and yet because you're a political figure, you can break that law. You can violate that law because you are looking for your new position, and your new position is the next man or the next woman to come along and smile and earn your salary from doing nothing in the community. So fucking what, you go around and cut the old people grass, all right? Well, it used to be a group of people that used to go around the neighborhood, freelancers, and they would just do it. But you got the police out on them and made sure that you pulled every fucking landscaper, every scrapper, and all the motherfuckers over that you could to make sure that they had a license to do what they want to do. Now, who the fuck goes out and gets a license to cut somebody's grass? If you don't have a fucking job and you got a lawnmower and you need to make some money and your summertime is warm and you need to get out there and cut some motherfucking grass. If you got a snowblower or a truck with a snowplow, then you need to get your ass out there in that cold. Okay, welfare, and let me give it to you, what they call Medicaid is basically set up for people from an emergency standpoint, not as a way of life. But we as black people and we as poor people, okay, well, I ain't going to say poor because poor is perpetual. That's forever. Broke is a temporary thing. So get out of that state of mind and calling yourself poor, because they call you poor because they put a label on you. But if you look up the definition of the word poor and look up the definition of the word broke and compare them, and you'll see why speaking it out of your mouth, I am poor, will basically call into your existence the negativity that you ain't fighting to get out of. So get out of calling yourself poor. First of all, that ain't the word. Get out of saying that word, I understand. Because when you understand something, that means you stand under it. So whatever it is that you're standing under, when you say I understand, you are submitting to whatever someone is charging you or telling you that you have done. All right? So pay a little bit more attention to what people say, especially now. In these election years, we get a whole lot of messages. There's a whole lot of things going on under the table right now because this Obamacare issue is being blown out of the water. All right? It's being blown out of the water so that they can hire something else. Pay attention. If you're going to read the newspaper, read the whole newspaper, not just a little bit. And then you go online and you check some of those resources that are available to you, okay? The library, the welfare building, all of those places got access to the internet. So you can go on there for free, sign a little piece of paper. You can sign John Doe if you want to. But you wait your turn and you get at that terminal and you do some research on your own. Do some research on your own. You ain't got to believe what I'm saying. I'm only suggesting that maybe you can check some of this shit out for yourself, and you might just have something to say about it, okay? Because believe it or not, it affects us all. Most political structures look for a model that's working, okay? It's just like a company. It's just like a business. If you want to make more money, you got to figure out how to do it. If you don't got any ideas, you might have an idea to look at the way somebody else is operating. And so that Aiken Reed thing, okay, we went through some things up here where we went through Giant Eagle didn't want to come to the black community, excuse me, because Tops left. Dame's already saturated the black community. Giant Eagle didn't want to come. But there was no other option. It was almost like they forced them to be here. And yes, because it's the only grocery store in the Buckeye between Dave's and Giant Eagle, Dave's is so fucking expensive because they right on the crest of Shaker Heights. And so all the Shakerites come in there with all their exorbitant cash, and they don't care that a loaf of bread costs $3. They can afford it. Okay? But the people that live on the other side of the tracks, we got to go to Save-A-Lot. And Save-A-Lot is so far away from where we are. It's a bus ride and a long walk. you got to spend all your money at Giant Eagle or go to one of these A-Rap stores. Who ain't giving you a break anyway, okay? And that's going to be another topic that we're going to bring up soon in our show, because I don't understand what happened to all black-owned businesses. We got a lot of Jamaicans in the neighborhood, and they ain't hiring nobody that ain't Jamaican, okay? Just like the Arabs. The person that works in the Arab store is either the lottery girl, or the man in the freezer, or the man cleaning up their lot. And we spend a lot of money at the Arab store, but we don't go to the black people store. Ain't that something? I wonder why that is. Somebody tell me, please. 646-478-0944. We're going to take a break, and we're going to play one of these beautiful songs from your boy E-Max, and this one is called How. We'll be right back with Hood Talk Radio in a short minute.
After I was fooled, was it how I thanked you really for all your generosity? Whoa, whoa.
But why do you do it? Don't let me touch you.
Keeping me at distances and managed to get a kiss. No, no.
Keep on teasing me when you know you should be pleasing me. Always having what I'm needing, babe. Never giving what I want, babe.
No, baby.
How could you keep on teasing
How could you?
Me?
Yes, 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 indeed. How could you keep teasing me? You know what I'm saying? 646-478-0944. That is how you call in and holler at your boy Max right here on Hood Talk Radio. I want to thank John G for calling in and continuing to bring us a lot of the insight on some of the things that's going on around in our community as well as in your neck of the woods. We appreciate that greatly. A lot of people don't do that. You know, I listen to a lot of other shows, and I ain't bragging or nothing, but I'm just actually proud of the work that's being done on the Hood Family Network of shows, man. We got Al Porter Man Streets on Monday. I mean, it's amazing what he does on Monday. And, you know, it's a delight to be able to produce, you know, such a person that, you know, it transcends into our music. You know, I produce a lot of music for Al, and it's a beautiful thing to work with him. So I want to send a shout-out to Al Porter. Shout-out to my man, Johnny G, who, you know, saying is very welcome, you know, caller, and what he does is very important. His work is important as well, and so we appreciate the fact that, you know, he takes the time to, you know, contact us and let us know what's going on in his neck of the woods, man, because it affects us all. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Border Wrestlers Radio. I understand they're back on the air. They've been off for a few months, man. I guess doing some restructuring and everything, but, hey, if you want to grow, sometimes you got to, you know, make some changes, and that's pretty much what life is all about, you know. excuse me. Today I came across a secret black society called the Black Boule. All right, check that out, man. It will blow your mind, because these wealthy, and I'm not going to say rich, because there's a difference between being rich and being wealthy. But these wealthy black people, I have to say, ain't no better than the old phase that we live around every single day. Love their blackness. You know, a lot of them try to do, you know, what they can do. Some of them admittedly will say, hey, if you didn't get your ass in gear and not settle for mediocrity, then I'm not going to feel sorry for you. I got mine. Get yours. So a lot of the wealthy black people in this country have the same mindset as a lot of the wealthy white folks. If you can hang out with the white folks and they can look at your money and not see your color, then you know, they consider that being blessed. Okay? What happens when, like, say, for instance, a lot of the doomsday seekers and the conspiracy theorists, whistleblowers out there saying, you know, our government is preparing to, once again, you know, lock up at least the majority of the population of the African American in this country. So, you know, we got to keep our eyes open on that. It's a lot of information out there. I just want to put that in your mind. We'll talk about that on another show, as you know we will. Because right now we're going to go to the phone lines and bring Mr. Porter into the conversation. 216-704, what it do, Al?
Hey, I'm going to start light and then get a little bit heavy and say, of course, I feel like I'm very, very, very fortunate that this coming Saturday will be the, quote-unquote, 145th hip-hop workshop. Of course, the hip-hop workshop, Cleveland State University. And that's large room 136, large room 136, main classroom building 1899. That's 2 to 6 p.m. Cleveland Standard Time, music business lesson from 2 to 2:30. And that's this coming Saturday. As a matter of fact, I would just like to tell people and let them know that's what's going on. And that's right at the College of Cleveland State University. Everybody's welcome through. Learn a little bit about the music business. Speakers in between, as well as the fact that people will get a chance to talk. And most importantly, perform. Now, as for this day itself, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I would like to just throw out there that I remember going through once you're a certain thing, because I don't know what you talked about or got with. So before I make my second statement, I just say that it's been very interesting that it had been hard for me, and I just want to – it was a hard thing when Al Porter Jr., back in, I'll say, a couple of years ago, I was doing things I thought all right, promoting everything, and I remember that I did – they closed down Huron Road Hospital, and before Cleveland Clinic did, I had a nice little job at a place called, of course, Inc. Pen, BIC, Brennan Industries. I go out there on, I will say, June the 10th in a rally for my people, dressed up as Dr. Toby Cosgrove and all of that, help march with the union and everything like that, and a lot of people. And then come June the 13th, I go to work, and by 8:15 a.m., after I Shine, Gene Shine, I can call his name out there, it's like public record, he walked in, you know, a lot of white coworkers and other folks are leaning on their machines, some not at all, some doing whatever, crossword puzzles and everything like that. I'm sitting back, leaning back, next thing I know, I was let go. And I found that I've been doing a lot of more powerful and positive things since then. Sometimes it was frustrating, but I noticed that that extra time and stuff like that was a lot of freedom. And I know that when I left there, it wasn't just the Gene Shine, but I'm just going to go back and say the ones who come up and say certain things to me, I've really got to give a shout out to people like the Steve O's and the Joes and a few others. But on the flip side, the ones who swore they weren't racist, like the assholes like I left behind, like Steve Luke, that I could throw out there. Listen, I play favorites for my own, but hey, you get sued, I could take the lumps because it was the truth. And I've always said, if you speak the truth, you can't get sued, and you hope somebody sues you, because when it falls flat and you start putting out all your evidence like that, then they have to pay me when I countersue for slandering of my character. So you have to learn the law of the land in order to use it or what have you. So I want to throw it out there on the table and wonder how, you know, you might feel what you think is so important when certain folks will come there and come through there. They don't know how to stand for certain things, or something happens, or they feel like crushed and defeated, and they don't go forward. How do you take a positive like that? Because you might be able to give some folks that type of feedback, you know.
Well, a lot of folks, and it's sad to say that a lot of people don't know the difference between an employee, okay, and being an entrepreneur. A lot of folks let fear of not knowing what's coming next rule their actions and their emotions and this and that and the other. But like you said, man, if you even took the bruises and you even took the bumps and you understand, you know, what's really going on, then it's not actually a bad thing. See, one thing that I have learned is that being an employee, I gave up my freedom. You know what I'm saying? Entrepreneurs and people that do their own thing, they have the freedom to do what they need to do. Whereas when you commit yourself to working for someone else, you give up the freedom of not having fear as a factor in your life. What am I going to do if I don't have a job? You know what I'm saying? How can I, you know, I can't afford this no more, so I can't do this. Well, that's not the attitude to take. The attitude to take is, how can I afford this? Not, I cannot afford this. You know what I'm saying? What am I going to do now? Why would you sit there and let your shit pile up on you because you lose one job? If you want to lose your shit, oh, I'm going to lose all my shit because I ain't working no more. That's a fucking lie. If you let it happen, then it becomes the truth.
Ooh.
So why Why would you go through all that fucking trouble getting up every morning, even when you don't want to get up? Going to punch a clock for somebody else, slaving all day, doing whatever they told you to do and a little bit more, just to lose that piece of shit nothing and turn around and beat yourself into the ground, feeling sorry for yourself because you can no longer protect the master's property.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Some of us don't realize that we have a greater potential outside of working for somebody else than we do working for somebody else. Because if you notice the times, advancement is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. There is no more room for advancement. And they all keep saying, go to college, go to school, go to college, go to school. Well, the Creator didn't invent those things. Man did. When the Creator gave you, he gave you some talents. He gave them to you freely of charge. And he ain't charging you to learn how to use them. You know what I'm saying? If you never ask for an opportunity to use the talents that you got, you won't get it. You got to speak it into existence. Stand on your own 2 feet. You know what I mean? That is as positive as I can get, because if I tell you, oh, all you got to do is believe in yourself, you didn't believe in yourself in the first place because now you're crying on your knees, oh, Lord, help me, I ain't got no job.
Mm.
You know, it's out there that ain't got a job. But do you know how many people it is out there doing something legal to make things work? So you can't just sit still. Sitting still is going to make your ass hurt. Sitting still is going to make you blow. It's going to make your bones lock up, and every time you get up to do something, you're going to be cracking all over the place. That's what happens when you sit still. And you always got to remember this. When one door closes, as long as you keep knocking, one day somebody's going to open another one.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? That's right. If you stop knocking on doors, you'll never get a door to open for you. People ain't going to open the door just because you're walking past unless you're making a lot of noise and they want to see what the hell is going on in the hallway. So until you knock on some doors, you ain't going to know what's behind them. You know what I mean? But you have to understand you, and you have to tap into your resources and your talents and knock on those doors that go along with what you are well gifted to do. How about trying to do something that you love for a change and not doing something that you have to do? You know what I'm saying? Don't be so hung on losing your material shit, because one thing that I've learned, if I lose a quarter today, if I look for one, and it might be some pennies on the ground, I can pick up 25 cent worth of pennies everywhere. So don't get bent out over that quarter. Just look around a little bit and you'll find it. It may not be one single quarter, but it'll be a quarter, and it's going to allow you to get what you needed to get with that 25 cent.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
So don't let life beat you up, because that's the purpose. That is why we got shit like prison and crime and drugs and all of that shit, because they expect for you to go down that road when you take what they call a setback. That's what they expect. What they don't expect is that you're going to tie your shoes up and get the whoop. You know what I'm saying? Most people just take their shoes off and lay down and go to sleep and say, oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. Instead of saying, well, back to the fucking norm. You can't be afraid to start over. That's what life is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to take a step back to move forward. Take that step back with confidence and knowing that if you put your foot forward, put your best foot forward like you've been doing for the longest.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Don't worry about that shit. It ain't nothing. As long as you're still alive, you can come back. And as long as you still got 2 feet and you can move on your own, you got your own mind, you can do exactly what it is that you set yourself to do. Because your mind and your body got to be one, first of all. Your mind can't say, I ain't going to do shit, and your body, you got enough energy to do it. Mm. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
So your mind got to listen to your body, got to listen to your mind. And you got to move. You can't not do anything. So only thing I can tell you, don't jump out no windows. Because if you jump out the window, then you ain't going to get a second chance to do nothing. Or a third chance, or a fourth chance. I heard a white man on the radio. I was listening to Coast AM this morning. He said, if it means that you got to fall down seven times, ain't that what the Bible talk about? A good man to fall down seven times. But every time you fall down, he going to get up stronger. You damn right. But don't nothing come to the slothful but what? Poverty and hunger.
True.
All y'all Bible thumpers out there, now, if you're in a situation like that, it's time to actually execute some of those principles that you live by.
Okay.
Step out there on faith. You know what I'm saying? We call it jumping out the tree. Because people only jump out the tree because they believe they got somewhere soft to land, don't they? So jump on out that tree and have a faith that by looking down, you will find somewhere soft to land. But if you look up when you jump out that tree, it don't matter where you land, dude, because you can't see.
No, right.
So when you jump, you got to look where you're jumping to. You got to plan where you're going to jump so that the impact won't be as severe as not looking when closing your eyes and jumping out the tree. You might jump over a cliff. You never know where that branch is headed. So come on, y'all. Tie these two strings up and let's keep moving. You know?
So right.
That's all you got.
Thanks, man.
Well, you know, Al, it's no, when you're not happy, how can you be, you know, mad or sad about losing something you ain't happy about? Right. You know, I can say it too. I've been out there. I've been there a little more than 5 years and shit. After the first week, I knew I was in the wrong fucking place. Them motherfucking white folks out there ain't giving a nigga a chance to do nothing. They don't want to teach you shit. And I ask questions, I say things all the time, and every time I open my mouth to express my opinion or my thoughts or views on how things shouldn't be, especially as it concerns me, and I'm always told you're being, you know, combative. You know what I'm saying? You're being insubordinate. You're going to do what I tell you to do, and that's that. You know, you don't have a choice. And, oh, yes, I do. I do have a choice. And the choice was, if I didn't want to deal with their bullshit no more, there's the door. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it comes to a point where you have to evaluate not just your options. Even when you don't see those options, that don't mean that the creator don't have an option for you. You know what I'm saying? We live and we go through life blindly hoping that everything stays the same. We wish things were different. We want things to be better, but we live in the same place, hoping not to cause no ripples, so at least what we do have does not change. And that's a poison. That's a poison that we keep on ingesting in our minds.
Mm.
There's nothing that's going to last forever. Nothing in this world is going to last forever except this world. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It ain't enough nuclear weapons on this planet to blow this planet out of the sky. We'll be dead.
Right.
We'll be dead, and the creator just created a new species of people to take care of his creation. So, hey, you know what I'm saying? The dinosaurs didn't tear up no planet. The cavemen didn't tear up no planet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The animals do what they were created to do. Human beings. So we were the ones that set up the rulership of kingdoms and empires and all of that shit.
Right.
Laws and rules and rich and poor and tiers of employment and tiers of poverty and wealth. We did that. So, I mean, you know, to go into a place where it's like this. If you was in a relationship with somebody and you don't like them motherfuckers, do you stay in it just to be with somebody?
No.
I think
no. No.
You know, some people get caught up in that. Well, I'm getting some every day, and, you know, but I can't stand the bitch. You know, she go out and cheat on me all the time, and you hear from women. Oh, he don't do shit for me. He don't take me nowhere. He don't give me nothing. He don't buy me nothing. He don't clean up. He don't buy shit. He don't cook shit. He just come home fucked up every day. We have sex, and he get up and he gone. You hear the same stories on both sides of the fucking fence. But I just don't know why I can't leave him alone. Yes, you do, motherfucker, because you done got comfortable. You done got comfortable with that poison in your mind that there's somebody here with me. You know, I know she ain't shit, man, but, you know, that's my girl. Well, I know he ain't shit, but I love him to death. That's some poison. It's not all right. That's not all right. And that shit flips over to our everyday life. All right? So what we got to do, y'all, is remember, look inside and find your strength. Because when you look inside, and they gave us the title to be individuals, so at this point, one of our constitutional rights is to be an individual, okay? A citizen is part of a group, but an individual, now that's something totally different.
Okay.
Okay, so now I understand when they start changing the laws about citizenship and everything, it became basically for the aliens, the legal aliens that's living in this country, to become citizens. But those of us that were born here now, according to the IRS and the Census Bureau, we are individuals. All right? So it's a difference, y'all. Y'all start paying attention. Start paying attention to what's going on around you. Start looking to see what's going on in other places, such as in South Carolina with the Aiken Reed stores. Okay? Check that shit out on YouTube. Johnny G gave us the word. All right? Check it out. All right? Get off of Tumblr. LinkedIn is good, but sometimes you gotta, can you find that on LinkedIn? Can you find it on Instagram? I doubt that very seriously. They only give you 15 seconds on the video. So, hey, look at something that might, you might be able to make a difference, or you might make a comment that might change somebody's mind. You never know how the Creator's gonna use you. Each and every last one of us is here for a reason. We all have a purpose, and I would suggest that you tap into your own personal, natural resources, learn how to make some changes in yourself, which will, I guarantee you, spill out into the community going through a change, too. If each and every one of us take responsibility for our own actions and learn to harness our emotions and use our negative energy for something positive, it's very easy to do, okay? Then the whole community, or the community as a whole, if you can understand a little bit better, might be just a little bit better each day if each person would decide to look into themselves and say, I ain't bringing no bullshit to the table, and I ain't taking no bullshit that's on the table. Okay? We got to learn how to care for ourselves. If we don't learn how to care for ourselves, how the hell can we care about somebody else? This is the boy E-Max. We got Al Porter Jr. on the line, and we also have Johnny G. We got a few more minutes. Al, you want to say something before we get out of here?
Hey, I just want to say that I'm very thankful for us to be doing what it is that we do. I'm pretty sure that I leave it with people say that you don't share information, so I'm going to let Brother Johnny G. know that I'm sure that 3 o'clock, that's 3 p.m. tomorrow, you'll be able to talk to Brother Lancey himself right at Volumes East 105th and Superior. It's about that time. Plan on making some changes, some very powerful and strong changes in our area. And the only thing I'd like to say is that the one good thing that I found that happened from that memorial vigil at rally that happened last night is a lot of people decided to work together at the end of everything to get more things accomplished, and that is what was needed.
from activists to families to others to begin to work together, not on just your own thing and being, quote-unquote, a victim of the tragedy that happened on Imperial Avenue, but to join us when we go out on the front lines so that we can stop this machine as it goes, because Brother Johnny G said it best. Instead of, you know, we're waiting for the SCLC or the NAACP or Reverend Al Sharpton, it lets us know that if they're not going to do anything before we go and raise some hell on them for not doing anything, there'll be an army coming to meet them to let them know, guess what? Now it's at the point we don't need you because we're doing for self. So I just want to throw that out there and say that'll be beautiful when Steve and them look up and say, darn it, how come instead of Al Porter, we're saying other folks out there with him on the in front of the cameras making a big difference? That's it.
That's right. That's right. All right, let's get Brother Johnny G on and say his kiddos before we get on out of here. Brother Johnny G. You feel that? All right, all right. Brother Johnny G tied up at the moment right now. He was just listening, so that's cool, too.
Yeah,
but,
that's the brother right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? He spoke a little early, man. We brought him in and said what he had to say. You know what I'm saying? Y'all understand right now that you have tuned into the tune and fork of the talk shows, and it's only two of us, and both of us on the phone right now.
That's right.
So... the vibrations doesn't and y'all know what it is, man. We will be back Friday for Hood Tunes Radio on Saturday at 8 o'clock p.m. So tune in because we always got something good for you. This is your boy, E-Max Image, Val Porter Jr. on the line. Yo. And like always, we want to thank y'all for supporting us, listening, for download, and for calling in. All right, we got about 20 seconds left, and we're going to play our commercial before we get out of here.
Welcome to Hood Talk Radio with Cleveland's own E-Max the Image, where we unravel the facts and bring the truth out of the lies. Wake up, everybody. Hood Talk Radio.